I'm Jason Momoa. And Smartless is popping my cherry.
Smart.
Jason, you look. Why do you look so clean cut today?
Yeah,
look at you
look really good.
Because I washed. I'm fresh from the shower. I'm glad we were a little delayed today because I was running a little behind. And it occurred to me as I was racing through my my rituals there of pre, during, and post shower.
Sure.
That my loop has gotten quicker. I'm you know the sort of how long does it take you guys from start to finish? Like, oh shit, I got to get out the door. I got to shower. I got to get dressed. Got to get out the door. Are you like a 10 minute, 5 minute, 15, or a half hour?
I'm a five.
Yeah, it takes me a long, long time.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because my
what we're enjoying right now doesn't just happen.
What you're enjoying right now?
Yeah, it takes some work.
No, because my hair, it gets super, super, super poofy and big, and it takes forever to just do it so I can walk out the door.
And then, so how do you get it down? How do you de-poof?
I have to.
Is there a product?
Ideally, I have to let it air dry, because if I blow dry it,
it gets
massive.
Bigger.
Yeah, sure. And then,
it's so really humid over in the UK.
It's super humid, and I put water in it with the product, and then I spray it. It takes a long time.
Oh, my God.
And we should post on the website just your ritual, just for people who are looking to, you know.
And Willie, you're just a five-minute...
I'm a five and go.
Truly, just 5 minutes.
I think so.
Get your clothes off, get wet, get dry, get dressed.
Yeah, I'm a quick shower person. I'm a really quick shower person. Always have been. Obviously, had those moments where you have a longer shower, but I'm a really quick. I'm kind of.
Well,
in
let's stop there for a second. What are those moments where you're taking a longer shower? Is that when you're putting your hands on yourself?
No. No, I'm not. My shower is not my Jack Shack.
It's not?
Uh-huh. No, that's a separate. Yeah, I told you, that's a separate building out back.
Yeah, are we seeing you? Are we seeing you in your Jack Shack right now?
I mean, you might be.
It's a whisper booth / Jack Shack?
No, it's shower time is, long showers is usually like winter time and you're kind of chilled to the bone.
Well, what about you, Jay? How fast can you do it?
I'm a 15 minute all in. I can be in the car.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. That's from getting undressed, showered, redressed, down the stairs,
Maybe I'm 15 as well.
I bet you're 15.
I might be. Because I do a lot of other stuff, you know, grab my thing, do a quick moisturize.
That's another thing. I've noticed my products have increased as I've gotten older. I've got creams and ointments and fucking...
Oh, so you do have
all
cream.
Kinds of shit.
This is you creamed.
Oh, I'm fully hydrated right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Check me out.
Okay.
I mean, if you could smell
you
me,
do
too.
Look, you've got a little bit of a cute boy haircut right now.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it does. Hey, it's kind of a little good. Yeah. No, don't start acting boyish.
But after the podcast, if you've got some extra time, maybe.
Jesus.
Hey, Will. Who's your fucking guest today? You seem pretty chipper about this guest.
I
bet it's somebody that's
Your guest is not intimidating. He's already making a lot of noise.
Jason,
you better mind your P's and Q's.
Really?
With our guest. Yeah.
Why?
Because he'll reach through the screen and he'll grab you.
Is this a hockey player that could tune me up?
No, he's not. But if he'd grown up in Canada, he would have been. But he didn't. He grew up in Hawaii.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and you know he's done a lot of stuff that we love.
Barack Obama.
He's done a lot of. It's not a terrible guess.
Did I get it?
No, you didn't get it. But he's done a ton of movies. This guy's been in like so many freaking huge movies. I'm gonna try to do it so you can just bury it a little bit. Mm. You know, things like, I'm not gonna say the obvious ones. Lego Part 2 movie he was in. Minecraft movie. You know him from Fall Guy.
Jack Black.
You know him from Fast X. From the Fast series. But you also know him from the Aquaman movies and Zack Snyder's Justice League. And he has a new show.
This is Jason Momoa. Let's just bring him out.
Apple TV Chief of Wars. Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa.
Got it.
Oh, look. Wow.
You can't swing these guys by me. I can guess it.
What's up, guys?
Look at him. What's up?
Look at this guy.
Jason, what is your, what's your, babe, we got to go. Come on, get dressed. What's your, I got to get undressed, shower, and redress. What's your out the door?
Do you do what Jason does? You cream on your face?
Yeah, he creams on his face.
what's me in and out of the door? How quick I gotta go?
How quick if you're dirty and you need to shower and get dressed to go out?
Yeah, 10-15 minutes, easy. Yeah, that's it. Quick. Yeah.
What about when the hair was super
armpits,
long?
Armpits, nuts, ass, and then fucking out the dough.
But the hair. Yeah. What about when the hair was super long? That's a beast.
My
right?
hair is super long. It's just
up in a pony. Still,
it's just in the back. Yeah, I'm not cutting my hair again.
No.
never again.
Never?
I don't want to. No.
Does it take like 2 hours to drive? Is it about that?
To dry my hair?
Yeah it must, right?
No. I just
take it outside.
Quick.
When you get out and you just let it air dry, you probably look like an 80s rock, like heavy metal guy, right? Just
kind of cool everywhere.
Sure. I mean, real men drip dry. Let's be true. Right.
But don't you have to like, you got to condition that shit and you got to watch out for your split ends
so
and all
that? You have
that.
To put stuff in your hair. I don't put shit in it, man.
You walk around with a bunch of hair ties on your wrist? Like
I do.
You do, right?
I do. Hair ties, but I just...
JB, you spend a lot of time worried about your split ends. Is this something that could keep you?
When my hair was long for a second there, I was like, "Oh shit, this is a nightmare. It's not fun."
Oh, it's easy.
Momoa, do you really do? Do you do all the stuff that Jason does too with the creams and the things and the products?
He's younger than
your
us. He doesn't need to yet. But
no. Of course, I put a cream on my face. But my face, it feels dry. Yeah, because I mean, I feel like there's a lot of chlorine in the water. Just when I'm in London right now, and it's like everything.
So
is
am
just
I.
Basically, yeah, you're just like, yeah.
Cool it, Sean.
What's up, Sean?
What part of town?
I'm just at the
careful, Jason.
I'm at the Rosewood right now. I was supposed to be in New York, but then the flight got canceled.
Oh, Will, here comes Will. Hey, you know I live in the Rosewood too. Get him, Will. Everyone's getting along. Come on, first question, Arnett. Let's go.
Listen, hey, F you, man. You just completely hijacked him.
Wait, is that cold brew up there, or is that a lager?
This is Guinness. This is Guinness.
It's Guinness.
That's Guinness. Yeah, because it's what? It's like 6 p.m. over there. Go get it, Mama.
Yeah, it's 6 p.m.
Are you getting after it tonight? What's going on tonight?
No, I'm gonna spend the time with my lady. She's in here doing a movie, so my intention was to be. I was supposed to do Fallon tonight, so I'm in Budapest right now. Yeah, I'm in Budapest shooting Dune. So I flew in, and then we got stuck in a storm, and then I couldn't get in, and so I was supposed to do Fallon, and but I mean, I can do you guys. From
and now we got stuck doing us.
Yeah.
No, I fucking this. You guys are popping my cherry, guys. You're the first podcast I've ever done.
No way.
You're the first podcast I've ever done. I've never agreed to do these because I'm gonna get myself in trouble. So please, don't get me in trouble.
Listen, I listen. You know this, Jason. The first time that we met was like at some event or something. But you're one of those dudes where the first time we met, I felt like I knew you.
We freaked the fuck out, is what we did.
Yeah, we freaked out.
Yeah, you were outside smoking. I was like,
yes. And you grabbed me and wrapped me. I was like, oh shit.
Same thing with Bateman, though. Same thing. I was with my ex. It was the same. Thing, man.
Yeah,
you are
a good dude.
Forever.
So wait. So you had to cancel on Fallon because of weather. I wonder who Fallon calls. Everyone's got like that call. Like I forget who Kimmel said his call is when a guest drops out last minute. You've got somebody you can get on the blower to get. Hey, can you drive down and do the show tonight? Because they're live. I wonder.
Yeah,
who calls.
I mean, it was a pre-tape, so I mean, like,
all right.
I've done it a few times.
Yeah, you've been a call friend.
I've last minute it for Kimmel before, and I've last.
Well, you are one of the great
for
all-time
Conan
talk
back
show
in the day
guests.
When he was in New York. They'd call and they'd be like, "So and so, like their flight got canceled, or they were sick, or whatever." And you come and make a jackass out of yourself. For 15
minutes. You are one of the great all-time talk show guests. Mama, how are you? How do you like the talk shows?
I do. I love. I mean, listen. I think this is probably way better to do because it's way more personal and you get time.
Well, this is just a conversation bullshit thing, but like...
Well, and you don't have to get out. You don't have to dress up and like, you just show up.
Yeah, you got to have bits on those talk shows.
Yeah, it just depends on what you're supporting. Like right now I'm doing like my dream project. Like it's my Braveheart or my Dances with Wolves. So it's
what, Dune?
I've worked my... No, Chief of War. So the Chief of War that I have coming out is... It's 1790s Hawaii. So I created it.
Oh, no way.
I wrote it.
No way.
I directed it.
August 1st on Apple TV. Yeah. So
you directed all the episodes?
No. I directed the finale. I mean, I couldn't do all of it, but I mean, I created the show. I co-created it and wrote it with my partner. And then it's been like my 10-year project that I did with Apple, and it's all like just right after the white man came. So it's like, it's 1790s Hawaii.
Wow.
And it's all in Olelo, Hawaii. So it's all in the language, which is, you know, very, I mean, it's a pretty big deal.
Whole thing subtitled?
It's a subtitle. It's in Hawaii, but it slowly gets into English.
My character actually
leaves Hawaii and he goes out to the world and he comes back with all the weapons, but he basically gets to see the world and just see what's coming. And then he unites. It's about the unification of the Hawaiian Islands.
Sean, that's your approach when you're in the UK, right? Just slowly get into English. Jason, talk a little bit. How did it start? What was the genesis of this whole idea of doing this project?
I mean, it's never happened before. You know, these images. My great 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 grandfather has never even seen anything like this. So we've only had these in paintings or in museums. So nothing has ever existed like this.
Yeah, and it's
Yeah, so it's just like wanting to make something about King Kamehameha and just like our people and all the different things that were happening. But I needed something that would encompass a lot of things that were going on. It's like telling Abraham Lincoln's story. And you're like, why Spielberg did Gettysburg. You know, it's just the little moments of his life. But it's like, how do I encompass this whole area of Hawaii? And this character like helped me do that.
The settling of Hawaii, like when the white man came over, was it like a war? Was it contentious? Was it smooth?
Well, I mean, I think when Cook first came, they were, you know, kind of blown away. And what happened is, I think, you know, he left. They kind of snuck onto the ship. Maybe took a couple things, and then they executed one of them, I think.
Yeah.
And that pissed everybody off, and so they left, and when they got stuck in a storm, they came back, and that's when all hell broke loose, and so that's when Cook died on the Big Island.
Wait, who was Cook again?
Captain Cook died in Hawaii.
Oh.
So, but this is after Cook, so... But it's just a really beautiful story. It's very much like an Arthurian kind of, you know, the Guinevere, Sir Lancelot, King Arthur story between, you have this love story. At the same time, you have us, a character that leaves Hawaii, he goes to China, he goes to the Philippines, he goes to Alaska, and he comes back. And that's what he brings back all the weapons. And he sees the outside world and he sees what's coming.
Yeah.
And you get to see what's happening in Hawaii at the time. So it's a very huge, huge show.
Yeah.
And, wow.
Yeah, dude. It's
so
like,
cool.
That's really
as
great.
As a guy who's
coming out on my birthday, guys.
Yeah. Is that right?
August 1st. Really? Oh, wait. August happy 1st. Birthday.
Happy birthday.
Wait, so going to do that and coming, being you know, being Hawaiian and coming home and doing this story that obviously means a lot to you, was it, I imagine there must have been a bunch of moments you had where it was like almost spiritual, or you just like felt like the fact that you got to do this and tell this story must have been pretty rad.
I mean, I don't think there's anything bigger that I'll do, because I mean, it's not like I'm playing a superhero or something like that. I'm playing my ancestors. I'm actually like, you know,
Pressure in that? Did you feel like?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, like I'm putting on outfits that you're not even allowed to. I mean, they're just in museums. So the things that we're wearing, I wouldn't even be allowed to wear. You know what I mean? Like, so it's, even extras were wearing it. So it was a huge thing. And at the same time, it's like, you know, the movies we had were from like Aotearoa, they're from New Zealand, like Once Were Warriors, or like Whale Rider. Like, there's all these Polynesian stories, but there hasn't been something from Hawaii. So it really kind of united Polynesia, because there's not really, everyone comes to Hawaii, they make movies there. But they don't make Hawaiian movies. They don't make movies about us.
Movies about us.
Right. So, you know, we're a part of America. True, right? We just, no one really knows our story. And so I feel like this thing is something that's never happened before. And at the same time, we didn't really have the resources. And so it's really united Polynesia, because we got Tongan, Samoan, Fijian, Tahitian, Maori, all these different cultures helping us tell this story.
That's right.
So it's been really wonderful.
How old were you when you, how long did you grow up before you left?
My parents got divorced when I was 6 months old, so it was pretty shitty. I left at a very young age, but I was raised in Iowa, which is really people wouldn't think is great. I think it's really great. I grew up in the Midwest, which is if you grew up in the Midwest, you kind of know that's it's a pretty spectacular place. You grow up with
I agree.
I mean, my work ethic, family values, like it's just it's a very strong place. Having said that, I grew up where Bridges of Madison County was made, so I grew up literally like not a race. So I'd go from literally a small country town to going to like kind of the reservation of the Hawaiian side. So basically where I'm from is all local side. And it's not really being accepted there or being accepted there. So it was a bit of a it's a bit of like trying to figure that out. But I would spend my summers with my father and, you know, and then I would, you know, go to school with my mother.
So you were born in Hawaii, then went to Iowa, then went back to Hawaii?
Yeah, so when I was in college, I went out to Colorado, and that's where I was going. And then I kind of my family. I come from one of the biggest surf families in Hawaii. My great uncles like Buffalo Keolana. I come from a long list of amazing watermen. So I kind of went over there to like really sink in with my family, get to know my father better. Mm-hmm. And I was 19, and then a TV show came, and I ended up I was just folding T-shirts at the family surf shop, and then I ended up getting a lead role in this really horrible show that just fucking killed me.
Right, right.
But, so but I found acting.
You found acting, but you
know what I'm talking about, Bateman.
Yeah. Right. So you're working in a surf
all
shop.
All the fucking holes we got to dig ourselves out.
That's right. Were you, what were you doing? So in Hawaii, so you're working at the family surf shop. Were you surfing? How did you get on
so
a board?
I was turning into big waves. Like this movie came out called In God's Hands. And my cousin, Brian Keolana, he was the one who was towing in with Laird and all this stuff. And so I was like, what am I doing? I can go surf these big waves with my family. So I took the summer off and I went over there. And then the moment I was supposed to go back to school, I got the lead role. So I was just like, it was.
Wait. On the surfing part, have you been towed into waves? Like, do you surf those?
Come on. I towed into like a 20-foot wave with Adam Makua.
Unbelievable.
This is a real man, you guys. I know. Come on. Let's tighten it up.
I mean, I actually drowned
okay?
in Laird's.
You got once towed to the service station, to the BMW stage, didn't you? They towed you.
Yeah, it was only AC on a flatbed. My car, because of the front fairing, you couldn't tow it, so you got to put it up on a flatbed. But I did ride up front with the guy.
Yeah.
No way up front with the guy.
Wait, Momoa, tell me, you almost drowned for real?
Yeah, we're doing this paddle. We went in at Jaws.
Oh my God, Jaws is the real deal.
And we did like a 14, it was like a 13 mile paddle I was with Dave Kalama, my friend Joe Flanagan, and Laird Hamilton. We paddled like 13 miles down the coast, and you're kind of almost a mile offshore. Mm. And then my leash snapped. We're about 7 miles into it, and my leash snapped. And it's so windy on Maui, and so the board just went. I couldn't even see it anymore.
Sean, you were going to say your leash snapped once too, but it was cool because you didn't have to pay the guy, right? Because
it's like you snap it that hard on me, it's going to break. I told you.
I know, and you know what?
It ended up being free.
Don't yank on it so hard; it'll fucking break.
And then we ended up getting married 20 years later. Hey, listen, Jason.
And we will be right back. And now back to the show.
Wait, so tell me, when you're in that position of almost drowning, what is your brain like?
That's so scary.
So you know it's happening. Do you have a protocol of what to do in that moment? Are you even thinking clearly enough to know how to save yourself?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was trained pretty well, so it was fine. So I took quite a few on the head. They're pretty big. They're like 10-foot Hawaiian waves, but
unbelievable.
I'm literally probably a half mile at that point offshore, and it was just it's actually this place is called Shit Fucks, and it's literally because there's all this water that pulls out, and there's
dollar
a
drinks
there.
On Thursdays.
I mean, it pulls you out, and you just get hit with these waves. So I was stuck in this crazy spot, which is probably the outer reef, and unknown to me. I was really on the outer reef, and they couldn't see me, and I had my paddle, and I was waving it, and they couldn't see me, and the waves were so big, it was basically took my shorts off. It was so fucking big.
Hang on.
I reached down, put my shorts back on.
Shorts off at Shit Fucks. I'm pretty sure that's in the village.
I looked in. shorts were off and shit fucks. I looked in and I was just like, my daughter at that time was 3 months old. And I lost
Wait,
it.
How?
I was like,
oh shit.
I couldn't.
And who saved you? How did you get out of it?
Yeah.
What ended up happening, I was out there for a while, and then I just couldn't see anyone coming to get me, and I couldn't move anymore, and my arms and my legs gave up after, you know, I was out there for a while. But Laird had to go in and then go all the way around me and paddle up behind me. So, like, it's a coastal paddle, so it goes with the trade wind, so you're going down the coast. And then he came from behind, and I had already given up. My body stopped, like I couldn't move my arms anymore, and I bubbled down, and then my toe hit the outer reef. Like I literally gave up, and I'm screaming inside, and my foot just hits the outer reef. And I don't know if it was a fucking whale or just could be one rock, but I just reach down, grab it, I jump up, I get hit by another wave, and I dig my feet into the coral, and I'm literally in the middle of the ocean, and I'm just, I could barely put my lips above just to breathe and get a break, but I had already given up. So it's like, you've already given up and died and have a second chance at it. And then I still stayed out there for like 10 minutes. I'm just hanging on the side of this reef. And then I hear Laird come from behind and he's on my board, towing his board. And I get on and he's like, you're right. And I'm like, no. And I get back on the board. And we start paddling. He's like, you got to go out. And so we just keep paddling out. And I just keep trying to go over every wave. I lose the board. He loses the board. It's just a shit fucking, it is brutal getting out of this spot. And so we end up getting out really far, pretty much on the shelf of Maui. And I have 7 more miles to paddle. My feet are covered in blood. And I'm just literally like with my ancestors, just paddling the rest of this way, head down. And we get out, and I mean, I could have been trolling. There could be sharks everywhere, but I'm just like trolling this whole fucking coast. Blood's
all this blood you're dropping too.
And we get in, and I used to smoke like 2-3 packs a day. I'd roll a pouch. I couldn't stop for my kids. Couldn't stop for my ex. I couldn't stop smoking. And the moment I came out, I never smoked again. Like I just died. Like I tried, but like I couldn't do it again because I gave up. Like I gave up my life.
Do you remember the moment you felt that you were saved? That you actually got through it. Do you remember that moment?
I remember seeing him, but I was like, I was 10 minutes dead already. You know, that would have been 10 minutes had there not been the outer reef. Like had there not been some, you know. And I do believe my ancestors. I do believe my, you know. I prayed to my grandmother, my grandfather. I mean, I was reaching, and I was in a bad position, and you're stuck out there in that kind of waves with no board, you're fucked. And there's no way you can swim in. It's just not, I don't have that. So it was a bad spot to be in.
But I imagine that gives you like it's a pretty sharp contrast and gives you some perspective to, like you said, you quit smoking, and that going forward from that moment, you're like, all right, I've been through some shit and everything else is kind of gravy. Did you have a little bit of that?
You know, I did a little harder run. I think, you know, I have qualities that are, could, I don't know. I was pretty hard on myself that night. I did a lot of stupid shit, and I just really was, like, pissed at myself for the position I was in and probably tortured myself even more for the stupid shit that I did. Wow. So I don't know. It was a bit of a hard learning curve, but I feel like I've always had that, where it's just like, my learning curves are pretty hard on me, so.
Yeah.
You know, I was... Wow, I was thinking about that the other day about how, you know, I find myself in a completely different life than I was having in my 20s. I mean, as everyone does, you go through these stages. And how are you finding your life now as a fully functioning professional that's able to write and direct and produce and star and like, you know, take all these sort of adult meetings and like all this kind of shit that it doesn't sound like you were doing at all in your earlier sexual life, like me too, just being a dickhead.
I think if you have, there's a potential that you have that needs to come out. And I just, until I met the people that actually, like, until I met my partners, until I met the people that actually made me, get those things out. I was just bashing myself with addiction and drugs and like,
yeah,
just,
but a necessary level of like stage
things that you're just burning. Yeah. You're just,
yeah, you go through that stage. You got to get it out. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much.
Cause now's not a good time to do it. So it like, you, it sounds yeah, like yeah. we were doing that stuff at a time when you're supposed to, but you do that really well, such that you can now do this really well. And are you enjoying that? And do you have that kind of clarity and perspective? Like, that was a version of Jason Momoa and now this is a version of Jason. And they're both me and I'm just going through it.
100%. Yeah. I mean, they're great. They're great. All the things that we did when we were younger, I'm glad it wasn't handed out. It was a very hard road to get where I'm at. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Having said, I've been directing for the last almost 12 years now. I like that process. I love producing. I love not being just an actor. I love being able to, if someone's going to judge me on something, like I took this choice, I made all these choices instead of just being an actor. It's nice just to go to the trailer and be an actor, but I also love, I mean, this is just the way my brain works. I want to have 100 things going on.
Yeah.
And I just love working. Too. I just love being responsible for those things. So,
well, you also appreciate it because of all the things, Jason, like you were just saying. And I think I'm going through it right now at this age. I'm 55. Sorry, I was waiting for you guys to go, no way.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And, really,
it's late. There's a delay.
I've just recently, truly, the last, I don't know, almost couple weeks, I finally had this moment where I was like, I feel this kind of shift happening and this sort of cloud lifting and this thing happening in my life where I feel like I'm okay. I'm cool with who I am today.
Yeah.
And it took me going through a lot of different shit. It's different from any other period of my life. Mm-hmm. It's really rad and really profound.
It's one of the gifts of getting older, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You start to care a little less about what other people perceive you as and the artifice and the efforts you make to sort of convince those that you might be X, Y, or Z. And it's like, no, I'm just A, B, or C. You know, like, this is just me, and if you see it, great. If you don't, that's okay, too. It's most important is that number one understands who number one is and that I'm okay with that. There's only one of me, and I hope you guys dig it. If you don't, there's other people to talk to.
A little bit.
Yeah, totally.
I think there's truth in that. Wait, so, Momo, you're talking about you did this shitty show, but, like, I guess that was your first acting gig, right? The thing you're talking about that you did in Hawaii.
Yeah, well, you know what's kind of cool about it? I mean, like, listen, I fell in love with acting because I was a biology major. I was a science major, and that's what I wanted to do. And so Baywatch Hawaii came and whatever. I was 19 years old. You got to make $100 being a extra, and I was folding T-shirts for 16, and you got to meet a bunch of hot chicks, and I was 19 years old. And like, I'm going to go audition.
Perfect.
Yeah, of course.
So it was like 1,300 people showed up down there, and we went in, and I ended up, I ended up getting the lead role. I was supposed to go back to college, and my mom's like, what are you doing? I'm like, Baywatch Hawaii, and she's like, what? And so, I mean, like, it just, I didn't know a fucking thing about it, but I fell in love with acting. I basically watched tons of movies, and every movie I'd watch, I'd just play that character the next day. You know, if I watched Fifth Element, I was Gary Oldman that day. If I watched Fight Club, I was fucking Tyler Durden in that episode. And so, I mean, I literally just, it was practice and doing all that, and I just didn't give a shit. And but I fell in love with it. And having said that, every grip and, like, from catering to grip, makeup, everyone, they're on my show. You know, I'm 46 on August 1st, and they're all did Chief of War with me.
Wow.
And I'm coming home telling our people's movie. And, you know, I've dug myself out of massive, massive holes. Like, I went through college doing, Stargate Atlantis and hiding in Canada and making a sci-fi show. But I learned how to do everything. And I was like, listen, I'm going to shoot this myself. So I started, at that point, I could write, direct, do all this stuff on my own. Because I was like 22 episodes, 9 months of my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like banging out stuff. And you're like, no, that was my college. And then I had an accident and took some time off. But I, got married, had some kids, and then Game of Thrones came out. And then no one knew what the fuck to do with that guy.
Right.
And then you're kind of stuck in that jail of like until you get to the fourth season of it. And I was like, while we did Game of Thrones, I co-wrote my first movie, and I did Road to Paloma. And I was just like, fuck this. And I made Pride of Gypsies, which is a bunch of actors, a group of friends, and we just made movies together. And, you know, some of us were we'd all hold the boom. We'd all do this. We'd all shoot. And so we all came from that thing where it's just we did the work. We edited it. We shot it. And that's how we kind of built a, you know, I'm not going to wait for anything. So we just kind of went about it that way because I was like, no one's going to give me this shit. You got to go. You got to go get it. So we wrote all our own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, I remember seeing you in Game of Thrones and I was like, the character and the size of you, I was just like, my God, this guy's such an incredibly, you know, fit human being. And the size of you, I was like, and then because your entrance, you're like, oh my God, who's this guy? And then you start acting, you're like, oh wow, he's like a brilliant actor. Like,
and you have presence. You have such presence apart from your physical, but you just have presence as a person. That's really so magnetic. And I wonder, right, Sean? Like
it's just, I was just so surprised that, like, that I know what you mean by what do we do with this guy? But I was like, well, he's a great actor. That's what you do with him. You plug him into any role.
Game of Thrones, was that the first, was that a turning point? It must have been.
That was a turning point. We got respect, but because he didn't say much, and even though I played like a really good character, played it and did my job well. But it was, it's a thing where it's like I'm a huge SNL fan. Like I love comedy. I just want to do comedy. That was I grew up with SNL. It's all I wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah. Same.
And
you hosted, you know, twice.
And no one fucking knows me that way. So I didn't know. They just, you know, and they just use me as action, or I don't say much. And so it's a very weird thing to kind of live in that action, and you're this and that. Because my mom and my dad are both painters, right? My mom, you know, I was raised watching Rear Window and like Gone with the Wind and Streetcar Named Desire. I was raised with a single mother that worked four jobs in Iowa. So it's like I didn't grow up, even though I grew up into this body, I'm a total art nerd.
Yeah. Yeah,
I grew up in a different way, and you just kind of like, this isn't really me. This is more me.
Right. So it's difficult. It's like you're this huge presence. You're in this big, beautiful God frame. You're a very good looking man too. And inside of that is somebody who not only wants to do comedy, but can also do very subtle, nuanced, dramatic acting as well.
That's
and
what
so
I mean, yeah.
How do you, like, you know, you obviously have to account for how you come across. And so they can only put you in those types of characters. Yeah. And those characters aren't historically super funny or super sensitive, you know? So it's like,
until you get to know me, and like, I think we've had a little bit of time with each other, some of us, but it's like, I just, you know, it's my first time doing a comedy, doing Minecraft finally with Jack Black. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, finally. And like, getting into SNL, like that's all that matters to me. It's like just all I want to do.
You killed it on SNL, by the way. Yeah. So funny.
Yeah, now you've got the juice where I'm sure you can go to your team and say, hey, so I'd like to do parts like X, Y, or Z. Can you go out there and see
or create? Yeah, by the way,
while you're busy doing your job, they can do theirs, trying to bring you options in those areas because you've got the juice to where like a part is written not for a guy with your physical type, but it you've got enough juice now where they can actually change what that actor might be, what that character might look like, without changing any of the dialogue.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should tell.
Yes, he agrees with you. but yes, they can search it out. But I wonder, do you have like, because you mentioned Road to Palermo, the movie that you wrote and directed, which what was, by the way, when you first started directing, and this is a Jason question, did you love that shift to directing?
I love it. I mean, I don't want to actually be in front. I'd rather be behind the camera. Like, I love every aspect.
You're like JB. JB's the same.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's where it's
at. I mean, there's top and bottom jokes there. You say you don't want to be in front, you want to be in the... But I don't have it fully written right now, but just come back to me on that. Yeah.
Check your text.
Checking the text.
Damon, you love being behind the camera, right?
Oh, God, yeah. I'd stay back there and never act again. Although I do like acting, and I also... Acting in something that I'm directing, I really love, just because, as you said... I love being overwhelmed with the amount of work and responsibility as opposed to just hiding in the trailer, you know, like I'm a glutton for that stuff. So,
but you drop it in like I'm smoking aces and shit like that. That's hilarious. Like you got it. Like that stuff is like, you know, when you have little roles that come in, you're like, I want to support this and come in and do something.
I love that stuff.
Of course. I love if I can add and get the budget up, whatever they need to do. But I'd rather not have all the, I don't need to be the lead of this. I'd rather make my movies and
exactly.
I like them small and they. Yeah. I don't want to direct like a massive. This is probably the biggest it'll ever be. Like when I directed Chief of War, I directed 4 or 5 units. The finale is on the lava field, dude. Here's a crazy story. So you might have asked this earlier, Will. Like a crazy story about Chief of War. When we first wrote it, the whole finale is about these two cousins fighting over the Big Island, and the volcano goes off in history, and it's literally snowing ash, and the volcano's coming down. And the volcano, it's kind of like, let's just say it's 50,000 versus 10,000. And the volcano comes down and wipes out the person who lives in that territory, and that's how Kamehameha won in history.
Wow.
So when we wrote this, I literally saw on the calendar in the production meeting, I go, boom, volcano's going to go off. And everyone's laughing at me like, no, it's not going to go off. We cut to, we're there the night before, we're driving between Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea, and I tell my partner, I'm like, bro, it's going to go off, I know it. And about 4 hours later, production calls, Mauna Loa goes off, which is probably 10 plus years since it went off.
Wow.
Mauna Loa goes off. We obviously break because no one's worked during a volcano. So we're checking, you know, air quality and all those kind of things. And they're like, yeah, we're good to go. So the next day we go, Kilauea goes off. That's the first time in human written history that both volcanoes went off. I go and I shoot 8 days. I wanted to shoot the fight. So it was like we're in the daytime and it goes into night. And I want to see the night. I want to shift into blue light. I want to go through the sunset. I want to go into blue light. So I had to shoot the whole fight in reverse. So we show up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're ushering in 300 extras, 100 stuntmen. You're massive fucking battle, dude.
Yeah.
On lava fields. So anyone falls, gets hurt, where do you put the porta potties? How do you hide this? I mean, just all the schematics of like how do you shoot this massive epic piece in the area where it happened.
Yeah.
So we shoot it there. I got about 4 to 5 units I'm directing at the same time where I built it where I can shoot simultaneously so they can be used as extras in the background as I'm shooting this one, as I'm shooting that. So I kind of designed the whole fucking thing where I can – and the AD's just like, what? And I'm sitting in the production meeting. And I have it all balanced out. And the fucking volcanoes – this thing went off on the 8th day we end – and the volcano stops.
The day we end,
both volcanoes end.
That's crazy.
So were you getting the sort of the production value of those volcanoes going off?
We sent the people up to go shoot some stuff, yeah.
But did you have ash coming down on your shots and stuff?
No, we didn't have ash coming down on our scene. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been working because that would have been pretty bad for our health. But
we
had ash and all that stuff coming down. So it's a huge, massive scene where we shot it in reverse. So that way I can shoot all our key characters in the same light. But it's all, it's completely in reverse.
Wow. It was meant to be.
It was a massive feat. So the finale is like, I'm shooting the finale. And everyone's like, there's no way we'll pull this off. I'm like,
I can't wait to see this.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the posters around town. It looks awesome.
And it's all in our language. It's all in Olelo, Hawaii. So it's such a beautiful language. It's the most beautiful language.
It's so rad. I mean,
you're going
to
love it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
We'll be right back.
And back to the show.
You were talking about shooting that. That's pretty rad. That scene on the lava field and shooting that. And you've done a lot of kind of big epic scenes like that. You've acted in a lot of them. I was thinking like Aquaman. Like, didn't you have like underwater fight scenes basically?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, how did you pull all that kind of stuff? What was that process like?
Lots of stunt, man. I don't want to. It's brutal, man. It's brutal. It's that stuff's hard. I mean, fighting in a suit, that putting that suit on. I mean, the best superhero in the world is Lego Batman.
Come on. Black. Come on.
Black. Dude, my son. Dude, you're the best Batman. You're the greatest Batman in the world.
The greatest, Will.
I mean, you're the fucking best in the world, bro.
Come on, Will.
You are Batman.
Thanks.
Tell me more.
Black. That's a good impression.
And sometimes very, very dark gray.
listen, that's very kind of you. But I mean, you're Aquaman, dude, and you had to wear all that shit on. Do you like having to do that stuff? Like put all the fucking suit on?
No, I don't.
No,
but you do it.
Yeah,
the tattoos. Oh, it's all hard, bro. Sorry.
It's all hard, but then you go and do stuff. But in the same time, you do like Dune, like going to working with Denis. I mean, it must be.
Denis is amazing.
I love those movies.
I love those movies.
Did you guys hear what happened right now?
No.
Check this story out. So I'm in Japan with my son's dream is to go to Japan. So his 16th birthday, we go with the whole family, and I'm with him, and I'm like, gosh, he's trained martial arts his whole life. He always wants to act. I'm like, you're never acting. There's no way I'm not letting you act. Mm-hmm. He does like school plays in Topanga, right? That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the extension of like his acting skills.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm just like, I don't want my kid child actor. I don't want you in this business. Blah blah blah. Smart. You know, obviously the mother's been through it. Like, no, you're not.
Look
doing
at babe.
So, yeah, it's just like no.
Tail. Sure.
But he grew up with his dad being this thing. He just loves it. But he loves martial arts. So cut to, I'm like, he's 16. I really want, it's time for my son to be with me and travel. And maybe he can do school abroad. So I asked the mother. And we're like, yeah, well, if he can come with me, I would like him to come to Dune. Because if he really wants to learn acting, I'm like, we're going to be with Chalamet. We're going to be with Denis. We're going to be with Zendaya. He should be watching his father. Like, day in, day out, I want his work ethic to be like mine of the Midwest. I want him to see how hard it is getting up at this time, doing this. Like, it's hard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not digging ditches, but it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
And when you have to do something over and over, and if you're doing a fight scene all day long, like, no, you go 10 rounds, 12 rounds, but, like, this is all day.
Yeah.
And you're in a suit that weighs 40 pounds, and you're it's brutal.
Yeah.
And so I want him to, like, understand the business. So he's begging me to learn all this stuff. So, all right, fine. Well, let's send Uncle Kale. Kale did my, I did Minecraft with, I did Dune with. He's a producer. I'm sure you guys know him. And so Kale
Boyder.
Like, yeah, Kale Boyder. And yeah. It's just like, he's a dear friend. I was like, listen, we'll send him a stunt reel. So we taped something for Wolf. We send it in. And Kale's like, what the fuck, dude? Your son does, because he's been doing it his whole life. And he's like, wow, he does this. And I'm like, yeah, he's pretty good at it. Do you think we can get him like a Fremen role and he can do some fight scenes and let him be on set? And he goes, dude, we're casting for the kids, for Chalamet and Zendaya, basically, like, I guess it's like Skywalker and Leia. You know, it's Children of Dune, so it's the two kids. Yeah. And I was like, all right, well, he doesn't. Really, does he act? I'm like, you know, it's community theater. And anyways, they send it. I'm in New Zealand. The mother's with him. He does his scene. You know, I don't want to coach him at all. I don't know how to teach acting. I don't have a fucking style. It's just through sucking, you know, it's through sucking that I
sucking
I
a little less each year.
Yeah, yes, that's my style. Time. Like, I've had 27 years of fucking sucking that I figured it out. So I'm like, I don't really have a style.
That's funny.
So I'm not going to, I don't know how to teach it. So my dear friend, Cliff Curtis, who I looked up to, and he was in the show with me. I was like, can you talk to my son a little bit about acting? And so he talks to him a little bit. Wolf does the scene. We tape it. We send it in. And they fucking love it. And I'm like, holy shit. He's like, we want him to come to London and test.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, dude, what? And I had to fly from New Zealand to London. And my son goes into a room with Denis Villeneuve. And he has to test with five girls. And it's 3.5 hours long. I'm so Jesus fucking stressed Christ. Out.
Oh,
yeah, man. And like
way more stress than you would be for yourself.
Fine. No, yeah. I'm freaking out because my son is just wild. He's so wild and amazing. But he was beautiful. Like you know, Mary Perrin was texting me. He's like, he's killing. He's doing great. But he had to do like a really hard scene. That even if I had to do that scene, there's no way I could pull that off. And to do that for the first time. And this kid killed it, and he did it on his own. I didn't help him at all.
How about that?
And I'm doing fucking Dune with my son right
That's
now.
That's amazing. No I didn't know
I just,
that.
I literally I didn't know just that. We just got went the part to the premiere, bro.
the premiere of Chief of War. We flew to Hawaii. We did the premiere, I think, on the 18th. We got on a plane that night. We landed on the 19th. My daughter's 18th was the 20th. We flew out the 21st. We landed in Budapest on the 22nd. He went to work on the 23rd.
Jeez.
Wow. His first goddamn scene. No I'm sitting way. There shooting my pants, going like he's with Zendaya. He's, I'm like, he's in it. And I'm like, my baby, 16 years old. And he just killed it. I was crying. I was a fucking wreck. I was so proud of him.
Great. And did he go, Dad, you were right? Did he say, you were right? That this is really fucking hard?
He's so hard. He's like, it's so hard. It's so hard. He's like, Papa, I have so much respect for you now. And he understands every person that works with me now. It's going like, I need help. I need help. These are the people that help me.
You don't have any scenes with him, do you?
I don't this, but in the future, but I'm like, I'm just there and I'm watching him and you know, Denny, who I fucking love and dearly, and he's just like, he loves Wolf and he's just doing a great job. And so I'm like, it's the craziest feeling.
How incredible.
I'm like, God damn it, dude. I just didn't want him to do it, but I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, he's so good.
I'm not surprised. Look at his parents.
I'm not surprised either. And I also think, like, you
want your kids to just be better than you. And I'm like, this motherfucker is going to be, like, he's going to blow me away.
Nice.
He's so goddamn present.
Two things I want to say. One is, you've paved the way because you're a great dude. And it's no surprise to me that he's great because you're great. And it's no surprise to me that you deserve it in this time. Think about the year you've had that you're doing. You've got Chief of War, this thing that's really personal to you and about your family. And now you have your immediate family and your son coming and working with you. It must, what an incredible feeling you must have in your heart this year about where you're at. Just in that, just think about that. It's pretty rad, man.
I start August 1st and this comes out. So I start Dune on August 1st. I went and watched my son.
Okay, it's great.
On the day.
Mm-hmm. It's, dude.
Well, you put in a lot of hard work. And I tell you, you know what, Jason?
I'll tell you something that my son said to me recently, my son Abel. A friend of ours, whom we all know, had something happen in their life, and it was public, and it was like sort of shocking. So my son Abel comes to me and he says, "Hey, I heard about that thing. Is so and so okay?" And I said, "Yeah, they're fine. It all worked out fine." And he goes, "You know, I was just thinking, man, thank God we're not as famous as them, because, you know."
Nice work, Dad.
And I go, first of all, you're not famous at all. A. And B. Fuck you, man.
That's great.
Isn't that hilarious, man? And he meant it, too. He was just like, thank God we're not as famous.
Thank God we're not so famous.
Yeah, how about that, Jason? Because you can't really hide. Can you? How is it?
I can't hide at all.
Yeah, and so how are you with that, with fan interaction and taking photos and things like that?
I'm really good when it's like set for that time. Here's the hard thing. It's like when we're all human. So I'm like, I'm down. But if I'm with my kids, people don't have really respect or they don't really think.
It just makes the kids so uncomfortable.
But if I'm with my kids, I'm like, you're never going to get, I can't take my attention away from these beautiful things that I barely get to see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's a very challenging thing to navigate, but at the same time,
you don't want
to
say
that
no.
Time to do it, or if I'm by myself, I'm like, hell yeah. But the cool thing is like, I love it when it's kids because it's like Minecraft. Like right now, they're like, it went from Aquaman, and then it went into like, I'm Garbage Man now. I know you guys probably haven't seen Minecraft, but Minecraft, I'm like the Garbage Man now. And so it's fucking cute as shit. So all these little kids are like, Garbage Man. And I'm like, what's up? So I take cute to the kids. But when it's a grown-ass man, I'm like, just buy me a beer. And try not to be weird about it. Let's just hang out.
I would imagine the sequel to that is probably brewing, right? When do you guys start that?
Oh, dude, we're right into it. I'm into this motherfucker in March, maybe.
Look at you, Johnny Franchise. I love it.
Tell me about it, man. Fast and barking down the door. Hopefully Chief goes again.
Really?
I moved everything to New Zealand, too. I'm like, New Zealand and Hawaii, I'm building studios down there with Cliff and Tyka.
No way.
So we're trying to, like,
no way.
Yeah, so I just want to be boom, boom, boom.
That's great.
Have you ever been to New Zealand?
I've never
been. When I was a little kid, I'd love to go back. Are you, is that where home is?
Home is now Montana in the States and New Zealand. So, in Hawaii still I have it, but it's like I'm basically trying to build studios between Hawaii and New Zealand.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
And shoot everything there. It's just, you get to a certain place where I'm like, Yeah. The quality of life. Where do I want to be? Who do I want to be with? You know, I don't want to, like, it's still tax incentives. And I'm like, this is where I want to be. And sure. So, like, yeah. If everyone can come down here, we made Minecraft in New Zealand. We made Chief of War down there. I made Wrecking Crew, which is coming out. Like, I just made everything in New Zealand, or it's going to go to Hawaii.
That's right. Great. What's your favorite thing to do with your, I was going to ask you what, you work so much, it sounds like. Like, what do you do in your downtime? But, like, obviously, to spend time with family, what's your favorite thing to do with your kids or with family when you're not working?
I mean, we rock climb, so it's like, I taught my kids how to rock climb their whole life. So we rock climb, and like that just keeps us in the outdoors. And rock climbing, surfing, or...
This is a real man, Jason. Riding motorcycles. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I really am. You know, I used to rock climb when I was a little kid, but now it hurts my hands too much as I get older.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, the rock, there's nothing soft about a rock. It's just scratchy. It's scratchy.
It's like, I like my hands to be strong and tough.
I know. I see you got a Band-Aid on the one finger, and I'm like, that would just, I'd have to cancel the podcast if I had a Band-Aid on my finger. You push right through it, don't you?
And then music, man. I started playing, my kids, my daughter was singing, so I started playing music, and they kind of moved me into bass because they both started doing everything else, and I just love playing music with them. So,
Is it like a family band?
Well, it's not a family band. I started doing. I have a vodka company. So
It's called Halif Relief.
It's called Maley.
Maley. Sorry.
Relief. That's actually a good name for a vodka.
I'm trying to look at the hat. I'm trying to see. It looks like
Maley.
Maley.
Maley, yeah. So we have a vodka company out of Montana, and so it's been nice to like have these gatherings where you get together with everyone, and we play music, and we play our favorite songs. So we play Zeppelin and Sabbath and Chili Peppers and Prince and Zombie.
I mean, great for the bass. All those, all those groups have a John Paul Jones. Incredible.
Dude, you've got a vodka company. You're building a studio between New Zealand and Hawaii. You're directing movies. You're writing series and acting in series and acting in like 8 franchises.
And you seem so like chill about it.
And you seem really happy.
Yeah. And like, I mean, what pisses you off? Like, you seem like, sure, whatever. Will you have some? Are we late? That's cool. I'll just wait.
I'm pretty pissed. I got to lose a bunch of weight that I got to get ready for this role. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's about it.
All right.
But that's everyone's thing. Yeah, I got to do a little extra. I got to take care of myself.
How do you, what's your
How's it going with you guys? Like, listen, I'm 46. You guys are.
Gets harder.
You know, you said you're 55.
We got 10 years on you.
It gets harder. Yeah, 10 years on me. I'm like.
What's your favorite way of dropping pounds?
You know,
not eating or exercise?
So I don't exercise and I don't, and I eat whatever I want. I eat whatever I want. So, and I drink. So basically, when I stop drinking and I eat smart and I exercise, I lose weight.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh yeah, your body must go.
Generally, I just keep it like I don't do it until I have to.
Yeah.
But my problem is like with all the things that you're taking off, like you do this. The thing that I don't do is I don't take care of myself.
Well, you will. You will. You still got time.
Yeah.
So you got time. Yeah. So like you got to go. Like there's a certain point where you can take care of yourself.
Start to feather it in. One kidney stone, you'll change your life.
Oh,
haven't had one yet. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, Granddad. Listen, I think, but how many people are listening right now going, fucking Momoa doesn't even work out and he looks like, I'm going to fucking throw myself up.
There must have been a time when you were a gym rat and you put on all that size on that plane.
No, it's only when I was like, I grew up skateboarding. I was a skateboarder and rock climber. So when I did Conan, they made me put all that, they made me train and learn all that stuff. I mean, you do it for roles,
sure,
and that's what's great about acting. They teach all these new things, and so you know you learn that. And then obviously for Aquaman, I had to train, and you know you're with all these best trainers. But I don't want to live like that, and I don't find like what I did is I would build rock climbing gyms in our training facilities. Because I don't want to do sit-ups and I don't want to, I would just rock climb.
One of the greatest joys in the world is food.
Yeah, but I would just rock climb to do
man, relax.
To like kind of like the things that you love to do.
And you think you're in shape till you try a pull-up. And that's what a lot of rock climbing is, right? It's just like.
I just want to have fun doing things I like to do. So, I mean, like I stay physical doing things I love to do. I just I think I probably get hurt more lifting weights. Yeah. If I do lift weights, it's very light now. Or I do like kettlebells, which has really helped, like just for like my legs. But I do pretty lightweight.
You can avoid injury by just lifting chopsticks, like Sean. you know?
Yeah. Into sodium.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, here's, we got two guys who both don't work out and eat whatever they want. And one is Jason Momoa. And one, Sean Hayes. So
I'd love to see a, so just a speedo shot side by side, the two of you.
It'd be so good. Although, JB, you were talking about you were lifting really light weights recently, and you were saying how hard it was.
That lasted 3 days. Yeah.
Did it really?
Yeah. It did, yeah.
That's
I'll get
hard
back
work
at it, though.
I've had a burger every day for the last 3 days.
Really?
You're great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
baby, what I mean. Do you work out?
No, not really. I mean, I do cardio, but I don't lift weight, and I should.
I mean, like, when you're directing, it's so hard. The hard thing for me is, like, I come from such an artist mentality where it's, like, it's really hard to balance the physicality when I'm, like, I'm giving everything to these things that you're doing.
You're so up
that,
too early, too, to
work
out.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I don't sleep much anyways, which is fine. It's just I don't – if I burn out doing this I just don't take care of myself.
Keep doing whatever you're doing. Whatever you're doing, just keep
whatever
it up.
You're doing.
You're
is
killing it. Just
my favorite thing one time, Momoa, you and I were in Vegas. We were at for like CinemaCon or something. We were on a shuttle bus.
Yeah.
And we were going back to the airport. And he had like a rucksack, like a roughly hewn rucksack, and it was just filled with loose beers. It was the greatest. And I'm like, he's got a bag with him. And I was like, oh, it's a cooler.
So smart.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So jealous.
All right. What are you going to do the rest of the day today, Jason? You got the evening.
I'm going to go have dinner with my lady.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to go just have a nice romantic dinner with my lady.
Who's your lady? I should know.
Should we?
Adria Arjona.
Adria
Arjona. Yeah,
nice
she's
name.
Doing a movie. Yeah, she's doing a movie, Thomas Crown Affair right now.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to go have a nice dinner and then I go back to Budapest to go back to do.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I can't wait.
The kids are in Budapest, so we're going to be together. And Wolfie's working, and my daughter Lola's there. So her friends are coming over, and we're just celebrating because I get them in the summer. So we're going to go do fun stuff, have my birthday here in a couple of days. So big party.
Do you have plans for your birthday?
I think I was going to stay at the house, maybe get a DJ and just like eat.
You're going to stay at the
DJ
house with a DJ.
Yeah.
A DJ at the house
so.
And just
I don't
eat.
Have someone play.
Get Scotty.
Yeah.
Scotty,
yeah,
I snuggle.
Can spin it.
My husband DJs sometimes.
Sure he does.
Send him over. He's in London. He'll go. He'll do the gig. Yeah. Listen, we'll make a deal here.
Momoa, you're going to have to wait till, 50 for the big one, right? I mean, I feel like that's when you get to our age, you got to wait for like 50, 60, 70, 80 for the big ones. You can't do it every year. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just think I'm with some really cool friends that I haven't seen in a long time. So
how long is it? You haven't seen us for a long time.
Can we get an invite?
Oh, Jesus.
I would love for you guys.
We
to
like
come
to party.
But it's Budapest, so it's like it's pretty far.
We got mileage.
It's pretty far. You're always invited.
Listen, dude, continued success. One of the all-time great dudes, and you deserve all of it, honestly.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for you, and you look so great, and you seem so happy, and just continued. I'm so psyched that you and your son get to do this. Just all
Thank
of
you,
it
brother.
Is great. You're a ray of sunshine, dude.
I'm a huge Dune fan.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the thing.
Yeah. Go get it.
I can't wait for you guys to see this,
Chief of War, Apple TV on August 1st as well. I mean, just all of it. All of it's so rad.
Congratulations, buddy. Keep it up.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Keep going.
Thanks, Bayman. All right, guys.
All right, hey,
nice to
good
meet
to see you.
Yeah.
See you, pal.
Bye,
buddy.
Pal.
All right,
nice going.
Big hug soon. All right.
Good to see you.
Aloha.
Bye, pal. He slammed it. He's a slammer. I love it.
Yeah,
nice going. Well, you know, I thought it might have been Barack Obama. I was pleasantly surprised it was Jason Momoa. You know,
those are the two Hawaiians that you know.
That's it. That and King Kamehameha, but he's gone. So
that was great. I never met him.
This is great.
Oh, he's such a warmest guy.
Really fun.
The
warmest just
guy.
So cool and down to earth.
Yeah,
so good. And
I love that his pants came down at shitfuck. Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
shitfucks.
Yeah,
at shitfucks, he got taken from behind with his shorts down.
Wow,
result of all that.
That's when I perked up.
We might want to revisit the transcript on that, JD. I don't know. you know what I mean? And also, you want to fall on the wrong side of Momoa? I mean,
no.
You know.
Yeah.
But I truly thought shitfucks was in Chelsea. Is it not?
I thought, but wait, you know what's great about him is like, I had no idea he was that prolific in this business. Like,
dude,
I had no idea.
He's a busy man.
Yeah.
Wow. He's just doing it all.
Big, huge star.
Yeah, turns out. Yeah.
Just a guy trying to mind his own business.
And then you're like complaining about tech rehearsals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
know.
Hey, yeah. When do you go? When do you go up, Shawnee? It's got to be
in
close.
2 days. 3 days. Three days.
Oh my God!
I can't wait to see you.
Oh my!
I don't normally have my wear my hair like this.
Well, we're not talking about the hair right now. We're talking about the show.
No, I know, but I meant three days. Yeah, yeah.
JB, you're not going over, right? JB, we're going to go over and see him.
Yeah, no, I saw it. It's good. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I saw it in New York. Okay. And plus, I was just there in London staying with him, okay? Yeah. Walking the fucking stairs.
I liked it the first time.
I preferred it in the States.
I'm a fan of the original.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited.
He got so beleaguered, the guy. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to do a bye.
Oh.
No, we know. We saw you look out the window.
I was thinking, I didn't know he was from Hawaii. I thought he was like, but you know, aloha not only means hello in Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What else does it mean?
Hello, what does it mean?
No. What does it mean? Something like, bye!
Bye!
Oh my God!
Aloha!
It means goodbye!
Aloha!
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Rob Armjarv, Bennett Barbaco, and Michael Grant Terry.
Smartless.